Greetings, Cap fans, and welcome to episode 170 of the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Verbanis, and as always, I am joined by the best gosh darn co-host out there. That is Mr. Bob Lucius. Oh, Bob, what's got you so jumpy? Why can't you sit still, yeah? Like gasoline, you want to pump me and leave me when you get your fill, yeah. Unskinny Bop just blows me away, yeah. Unskinny Bop Bop.
I have a sense of a memory of a song you're trying to work your way through. Mangling it. But it's so mangled, I can't quite put my finger on the title.
Well, it's Unskinny Bop.
Is that Unskinny Bop? What does that even mean?
Actually, they don't even know what it means. They just like the lyrics. It is, but who, more importantly, Bob, who sang this song?
I don't know.
That would be the hair band Poison.
Was it really Poison?
Yeah, this was their third album.
Oh.
And what year did it come out, Bob?
Oh, no, Rick. No.
As he looks at notes.
I have, was it 91, 92?
It was 1990, Bob.
90.
It was 1990. And what else came out in 1990, Bob?
Was it Captain America 372?
It was. In fact, 372, which we're covering today, had a release date of May 1st, 1990, a cover date of July 1990. But Unskinny Bop by Poison was their first single off of their new album, which came out in June of 1990. So you, back in June 1990, would been listening to this. It was a top three hit while picking up Captain America 372 off the stands. Now, the lines I picked up on this, which says, "What got you so jumpy? Why can't you sit still? Unskinny Bop." Maybe that's referring to a particular character in this comic.
Interesting, Rick. interesting. Perhaps.
Okay. Oh, well, we'll get to that. Okay. We'll get
All
to
right.
that.
I'm dying to hear your read on this.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Fair enough.
Oh.
How are things with you, Bob? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, it's been crazy, Rick. As you know, my dad recently passed, and so I was out of town for that. And obviously not a pleasant experience, but on the upside, I got to spend some time with family members that I hadn't seen in a long time. And you know, we've talked before about, well, things have been tense with me and some family members over the last couple of years. And, it takes an event like this sometimes, to bring people together and get them to spend time with each other and talk about common memories. And that was nice. I really appreciated that. And we're gonna, whole family's going to get together in July, all my siblings and nieces and nephews and so on and so forth, generations down the line, and just spend some time together as a family in July. So, that's a good thing. And I think you saw, you might have seen that when I was back up, I visited a comic and collectible store that was
in the town
that I grew up in, and that I have visited at least each year, for the last 25, 30 years. And I had never gone there. And it's always a little bit on the outskirts. And of course the town's not that big, but it was on the outskirts of town. And I just, for some reason, had never gone, but I knew that they had some amazing murals on the wall. And so I had to make a special effort this time to like swing by there and check out the murals, which included Captain America. So I was really excited about that.
That was pretty cool. I liked the pictures of that. I'm glad you had an opportunity to check that out and spend time with family during this, important time. So glad to hear that. But I like the pictures of that. I used to own a comic book store. And so I was in a strip center. So I didn't really have an opportunity.
I didn't know where that was going. Like, well, this is gonna be a good story.
That's I
they call them centers now.
I encourage people to bring singles. So anyway, the I didn't have an opportunity to really, you know, paint the outside of a building like this particular place. Like, the best I could do is just put some really cool posters up in my windows. But yeah, some of those painted walls and everything, you know, the cap one. I did notice that Yosemite Sam was standing on his shield. But how did you not catch that?
I don't know. Well, you saw that it was kind of faded. And I was just so fixated, first on Kamandi, right? Because of that huge mural of him.
Yeah,
but then, of course, Cap. You know, I was looking at Cap and I didn't look down at his feet and notice Yosemite Sam standing there until you pointed it out. Man. So that was kind of neat.
Oh, I'm a little more closer to the ground than you are. So I tend to pick up on those types of things.
Yeah. If I had seen that, of course, it wasn't open when I was there. They didn't open to the afternoon, but I would have gone. I definitely would have gone in. Maybe next time I'm going to go in and ask that story.
Mm-hmm.
Ask for that story about what the heck's going on between Cap and Yosemite. So.
I also saw that you posted a really cool new collectible that you picked up.
Yeah. I swore to myself, I'm just saving up for my next grail. And then I saw that one come available and I'm like, gosh. And it was Captain America Comics number 66. It was the first appearance of Golden Girl.
Mm-hmm.
The one where Lavender shoots Bucky. It's actually a story that's retold in the Patriot miniseries. And I'm a big fan of Betsy Ross.
I love Blanche. She's awesome.
Yes. Betsy's an underutilized, you know, character in the modern, of course, she's dead now in Ant-Man Last Days, but never really brought forward into the modern Marvel age after the Golden Age. And she was used a lot back then. And so it was such great condition and I got a great deal on it that I just couldn't pass it up.
You know, we all have fallen underneath that, you know, it's just, you know, I'd lose money not buying something,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't make sense to skip this. I have to get it. I know I've fallen underneath that myself.
I suspect you have. Yes. Yeah. So what's been going on with you, man?
It is a new year. So I, my original art budget, resets. So the last 2 years.
This is your fiscal year?
Yes. Yeah. The last 2 years, I have maxed out my budget by April.
Yeah.
2 years in a row, I've budget. I was so proud of myself. I didn't buy anything for the first few days. It was. I almost wanted to post something saying something like, I haven't bought any art all year. But then I don't know, like 5 days ago or so, I don't know, a week ago, a guy who I'm you know, friendly with, who I've bought a few pieces of art from, he's the guy who sold me my John Byrne piece, where Cap's, you know, doing all the acrobats, and he also is the guy who sold me the Red Skull official handbook of the Marvel Universe. And so he texts me and goes, "Hey, Rick, how's it going?" And I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
He's like, "You know that Daredevil piece you said let you know if I ever sell it? Well, I'm reaching out to you. You're the first guy."
Oh,
and I'm
no.
like, okay. And then so it's by David Mazzucchelli.
Uh-huh.
Now, I love his run on Daredevil. And in fact, that was the first run, you know, I think it was 1983, maybe 1984, where around the same time I was picking up Captain America monthly, I started picking up Daredevil monthly. And just like Cap, I've been doing it nonstop ever since. And so I have a very large Daredevil collection. But I mean, obviously Frank Miller's run is, you know, it's the top, right? Like that's, you know, for most of us, who wouldn't want some art from that run? And they go for mega bucks.
I bet. Yeah.
But this is a cool page. And, You know me, I'm a sucker for a character that is drawn multiple times in a panel to show, you know, acrobatic stuff.
Movement, yeah.
Sure enough, that's the top panel. And then there's a really nice close-up moody pictures of Kingpin, you know, with his cigar and, you know, and he's wearing his white suit, you know, and just really stunning. And then there's the last panel is a close-up of Daredevil's masked face, very reminiscent to Frank Miller. So I was like, yeah, I don't own a published Daredevil page, but if I'm going to get one, this is a good one to get. And yeah, it was too good a deal to do. And I was like, well, and I knew that he also had the official handbook of the Marvel Universe, Baron Zemo, by Mike Zeck.
Yeah.
And we had kind of negotiated on that back and forth before and didn't work out anything. And I was like, what would you want for both pieces? And he gave me a number and I was like, all right, let's do it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I'm actually going to get them at the OAX in okay. Orlando. I'm going to meet him there and I'll be getting the pieces and there'll be a little exchange of funds and and I'll be, you know, flying back with those pieces. So I'm pretty excited.
Nice. Did you get your own like little seat for them?
No, I bought an art bag.
Okay.
You know, where I could put my portfolio in.
Yeah.
And so then there's a conversation going on with a lot of us people who are flying to OAX is, you know, how are you bringing your stuff or how are you bringing stuff back? And so people were like, oh, well, I use this canvas bag or whatever. And I could check it. I mean, not check it. I can carry on with it, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So, I got one in the mail coming.
All right. I see those conversations in the cosplay groups as well. Like, how do I carry my shield? Like their cap shield. They have they figured out how to, you know, they make these cases for like big symbols, you know, for like.
Oh, sure. Orchestras. Yeah. Yeah. I'm familiar with them as I have put those on and off trucks, you know, you know, for the band. I'm the prop guy. Yeah.
Yeah. So they use those apparently to carry their shields, you know, so they don't get all scratched up and everything.
No, they just can't put it on their back like cap and just put a jacket over it.
Just put a jacket over it, top coat over it.
Right. Cause that works.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, I got some exciting news.
All right.
Guess in the first week of January, I actually lost 1.8 pounds.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
I'm my goal is a pound a week. So I was very excited by that. And so I'm trying to be good.
Yeah. I didn't lose any weight. I thought I might gain some weight because when I went back north, I stayed at a hotel and I didn't eat the best, you know, I was eating a lot
coffee comfort cake. Food. And
yeah. Well, you know, just what they had, you know, I mean, I think I ate like 12 granola bars one night for dinner. Cause that's what I had in my backpack, you know, and, but I did indulge in a few coffee cakes and, such and such. So I was like, oh my gosh, I know I'm going to have put on weight, but I came back the same. So,
okay.
Yeah. So I'm not like in the hole moving forward. So I'm still, you know,
good.
Started working out today. First day. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a little sore. Or you'll be sore tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow I will be for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Bob, let's get to the comic we're covering today. We put this up to a vote. You know, as has been our tradition, the last couple of years is the second week of the month we do our long tail story. These are long stories that you know, we can't obviously do in one or two episodes. So we put it up to the vote, and number one, by far, people voted on this story.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Streets of Poison. Now, interesting. It's a 7-part story. So this is part one that we're covering today in Captain America 372. The interesting part about this is, so these came out biweekly. So there's actually backup stories, because what they did back then was during the summertime, they, for a period of years, they realized sales were a little bit better. Now, maybe it was because the kids were out of school and they felt like they could, you know, they could make more money. So they started, at least for Captain America, it was in 1989 when they did the biweekly series for the Bloodstone Hunt. Right. And then this year in 1990, they did Streets of Poison. Next year, they did a Superior Stratagem. And then the year after that, Man and Wolf, which was the Cap, infamous Cap Wolf story.
Right.
And so, you know, it's just something they did during the summer. Now, they stopped it after a few years. I guess sales weren't what they thought they were going to be, or maybe they changed. But so it's an interesting concept. What they do is to make sure that they have the same creative team, especially for the artists. They do a backup story. So it's a little slightly shorter story. And then they had the backup story by a different creative team. We're not going to be doing the backup stories.
Yeah.
Sorry. If you want to check them out, the backup story actually stars
Battlestar and John Walker.
Battlestar. Yeah. So we'll get to that at some point.
It's a great concept. I love it. It's like getting two for one, right?
Yeah.
You get two stories, like the old Tales of Suspense stories. Love it.
Yep. Would you like me to read the solicitation for this, Bob?
I won't be able to move forward unless you do.
All right. Well, I'm glad there is one. Cap tackles drug pushers in the first battle in a drug war that will blow Manhattan wide open. All right.
Wow.
That's so, short one. You know, the war on drugs.
Yeah.
You know, that was something going on around this time, right? This was, during the, was this during the Ronald Reagan era? Yeah.
It was
80 to 88.
Yeah.
So it was Bush. Yeah. So this was, but war on drugs was going on during the Reagan era. I think it, you know, kind of continued here. In the story, I think Mark Gruenwald, the writer, finally wanted to address it. And we'll get into that as we get a little bit more into this. But the creators, as I mentioned, the writer, Mark Gruenwald, the penciler, Ron Lim. And, Ron had a nice run for Captain America. He was mostly known for like Silver Surfer and those type of characters, but he had a really good run here on Cap, and this is certainly, I think, one of his most fan favorite stories. Inker is Danny Bilandi, and Danny is you hear his name a lot as an inker during the 90s. Certainly was very prolific. Colorist Steve Buccellato, letterer Joe Rosen, and then the editor Ralph Macchio.
Do it.
Box off. And the title, I'm going to let you do the title, but hold on. We need you to do the cover, Bob. What's on the cover?
All right. Well, it's really an interesting cover. It's a great perspective. You're looking up, you know, you're in a city looking up from amongst these big skyscrapers, and you see Captain America falling toward you. And he looks particularly upset. He's got a grimace on his face, like he is full of, as we say, P&V. Can't say it, you know, the real words because, you know, it's a family show, but he's got that look. Yeah, that's it. He's got that look of determination and there's glass falling all around him. So it has it appears like he's falling through a skylight on the bad guys. Mm-hmm. But it's a great perspective, I think.
I always struggled with this one because I was like, is he falling backwards through glass or is he bursting forward through glass?
Right.
You know, I mean, like it kind of, you could see both ways.
You can. It's one of those things. Those optical illusions? You see a rabbit or, you know, or a bunny.
It's an optical illusion.
But I love the look on his face. So that sells the cover for me, that look of grim determination.
Indeed. Tell us a little bit, about the rest of the cover, Bob.
All right. Well, I mean, we've got the title, Streets of Poison, at the very top above the Captain America, which in this case is, there's only, you know, probably a handful of issues of Captain America with the covers where the coloring of the title of the book, Captain America, is not either red or white or some combination of that, right? There's that great, was it the Jack-O-Lantern cover that is a strange series of colors. And this one is a little odd too, right? It's Captain America is in orange with a green background to the lettering. So I don't know what the story is behind that and why they chose that particular coloring scheme this time around. Any insights on that?
I do not. But I do like the corner box logo of the Cap. I think that's the Kieran Dwyer. So they still have it, which is interesting because by this point, Ron Lim's been on the book for almost half a year. And he'll eventually make his own corner box. So it's interesting that they still have the Kieran Dwyer one on here. All right, so let's get to the inside here. And I'm actually pulling out my personal copy of this one, Bob. And we open it up to the original splash page. But I think I'm going to go ahead and read the top. We don't always do that. But just to kick off this story for seven issues, I'm going to read the top. Steve Rogers, born in the USA, raised to cherish the ideals of democracy, endowed with a superhuman physique, and driven to be the most capable combatant in the world. Now, as both lone crusader and leader of the renowned Avengers, he fights an ongoing battle for liberty, justice, and the American dream. Stan Lee presents Captain America. And the title to this one, Bob, is
Sold on Ice.
And this is a really cool splash page. It was actually up for sale earlier last year, and I had bid on it, but it got a little higher than I was willing to go, and I regret
Sky high?
It. I like that.
Yeah.
I regret it because it's a cool splash, and it kicks off a beloved story. I wish I did get it, but oh well. And it's basically Captain America on his sky cycle. Mm. And it's the, you know, middle of the night. It's dark out. There's stars. And Cap is zooming down, looming, to almost coming to a cityscape rooftop. And it says Upper West Side, Manhattan. And Cap, he's got his shield on the front of the sky cycle, and it has like a little plastic, visor.
Yeah.
Windshield. Thank you. Yeah, yes.
There's bugs out there. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to get that in your teeth.
No.
And he's thinking to himself, beautiful night. And my new custom built sky cycle handles like a dream machine. Wonder if Diamondback would like to go for a spin around town. Now I want to point out, Bob, the issue prior to this, 371, was the famous first date story between Rachel and Steve. We did cover that way back in episode 67, over 100 episodes ago. But it's a fun story. A lot of people really, really like the story because you get to see a side of Steve we don't normally see. So if you want to go back and listen to that, I won't hold it against you, and then come back here and pick up where that story left off. So we turn the page, and Cap is, while he's coming down, he is seeing a character laying on the rooftop, spying over the edge with some binoculars into another building, like some sort of resident building. Only one way to find out: by, wait a minute, there's somebody lying on the rooftop across the street from her apartment, someone wearing a costume. Maybe he's just a peeping Tom, in which case a little talk about invasion of privacy might be in order. And it's one of them Serpent Society guys, Bob. I know how you love snakes.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of snakes, especially the boom slang.
And he's sitting there with his binoculars and he's eating something. Maybe it's a Vegemite sandwich. And he's singing a song. What's the song, Bob?
You know, I believe this one is Bust a Move by Young MC.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How's that go?
This is a jam for all the fellas trying to do what those ladies tell us. Get shot down because you're overzealous. Play hard to get, females get jealous. Okay, smarty, go to the potty. Girls are scantily clad and showing body. Chick walks by, you wish you could sex her, but you're standing on the wall like you were Point Dexter.
And I almost think you were prepared for that question.
What? No, you know I don't prepare.
Oh, wow. So Cap lands right behind him. And he's like, Sky Cycle's quiet as a kitten's purr. He hasn't even heard my approach. Now that I get a good look at it, that costume's familiar. Let me see it from the front. Hey, you. Huh? Whoa. That looks like Boomslang, one of the Serpent Society. Boomslang. I spooked him so badly he jumped, and he's like, yeah, and he jumps right off of the rooftop. And he had to be, how many stories up do you think they were, Bob? Four or five?
Yeah, it got to be at least four or five, yeah.
Ah, you used the fire escape, but I know an even quicker way. Next page, and here's a really cool half page splash, vertical half page splash, not something you typically see. And Cap jumps down onto a light lamp pole, and he's jumping, he grabs it, he spins, he circles around the pole, he slides down. And so there's five different Caps in this panel, and which is I always love, right? And
well, that's one of your favorites. Everybody knows that.
Can't tell if he's running because he's guilty of something or he doesn't want me to deal with me under general principles. Despite the company I know he keeps, there isn't a warrant out on him or anything. Save your energy for the marathon, Boomer. I only want to talk. And what does he do, Bob?
I don't know what Boomslang's weapons are, but he throws something at Cap and it bounces off his shield.
It makes a noise.
Ba-ting!
But I also think it explodes. So he's huffing and puffing, running down an alley, a dark alley. No bloody way did I want to mix it up with Cap and A if I don't have to. Maybe if I find a hide down this alley. And then all of a sudden, Bob, Cap's like, what in? And there's a loud noises.
Yeah, it's like a doom, doom, ding, bam, bam, boom.
And Cap turns the corner. What does he see?
Well, that's not good. Boomslang's laying on the ground, and there's like, I don't know what, four, five, six, seven toughs standing around him, and it looks like they got some smoking guns.
And he's got a lot of bullet holes in his body and a pool of blood.
Yeah.
Good Lord. A gang of kids gunned him down. Yo, tone deaf. Another one. That be the king of the costumes, man. King's got blood, too. Chill the mother. Must be the entrance to their gang hangout. Boomslang surprised them, and they were coming out. Got himself ventilated. Senseless violence. Gets me mad. He does. He's got a mad look on his face. And he just dives at him. He punches the main guy. Perp's got a death wish. And he starts firing, but Cap blocks it with his shield. Despite their heinous deeds, they're all still juveniles. I'll have to go easy on them if I have time. And he's punching through them. Next page, and we get Cap ducking, one of them shooting, but the guy ends up shooting his comrades behind him. Gonna nail you, creepoid. The rest of you want to avoid a trip to the emergency room. Drop your guns, lie face down on the ground now. And he kicks one of them down. Casual disregard for human life is appalling. But they at least caught on to the principle of pain avoidance. Nobody so much as twitch. Cap goes over to the fallen villain. Boomslang, you still with us? And he's just gurgling blood. Easy, fella. Hang on. I'll get you to a hospital. And then a siren goes.
Woo! That's a wolf. What am I doing, Rick?
I don't know, Bob. What are you doing?
That's no siren. Oh, my God. It just shows, it goes to show that I have not had a lot of contact with either the law or ambulances.
No, you can hear, wee wee wee. I mean, come on. You watch TV, haven't you?
Well, yeah, that's true. I can do that one. That sounds more like a British one.
Thank goodness all the gunfire hasn't gone unnoticed. Someone's called for the police. Next page. A half hour later, outside of Roosevelt Hospital, Boomslang's chance of pulling through is 50-50. One of the kids shot was DOA. The other's critical. Some night. It says DOA and has a little asterisk. What does that stand for, Bob?
Dead on arrival.
That's not good. And so then he walks over to his sky cycle, which... I guess the wings on it folded up so that kind of like made it, tamper proof,
waterproof. I would hope it'd suck to get out after a rainstorm on your sky cycle and find the seat all wet.
Yeah, that would suck.
Yeah.
I wonder if this was something, I mean, like, I don't recall any type of like device that gets like protected like this in previous Cap comics. I wonder if the 1989 Batman movie with the Batmobile he hit the button and it all shielded up all around it.
Right. Yeah.
Do you think that influenced this at all?
It possibly could have. Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
The police have the remaining five gang members in custody. Remains to be seen how long they'll be off the streets. Attempted murder, unlawful weapons, controlled substances, and all of them apparently under 18. Welcome to the future. And he flies off. And then he flies into the Avengers headquarters. Not exactly in the mood for joyriding anymore. I'll have to give Diamondback a rain check. Soon in the Avengers headquarters, Cap's there and he takes his mask off as he's walking. May never know what Boomslang was doing near Diamond's place besides spying on her. I think I'll shower and hit the... And then Michael, the pilot, shows up. Do you know who he is?
You know, I don't recall, Rick.
Well, that would be... John Jameson was the pilot. Yeah, who's Michael? I thought this was the pilot, but I could be wrong.
He's got great hair.
It really does.
It's a very wavy. It's like a real David Hasselhoff sort of look.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this guy comes up to him and says, Cap, you're here. Good. Do me a favor, will you? Check in on Fabian. He's been acting strangely. Don't think he's slept in days. All right, Michael. Or whoever you are. Next page, he walks into Fabian's... I guess laboratory, office, you know.
Yeah, he's a tech guy, right?
He is. But, you know, here's the interesting thing about Fabian. And I think it's important to this story to understand his backstory a little bit. So 9 years earlier, 1981, he was introduced in Avengers 217, and he was known as the Mechano Marauder. And so he was a bad guy. You know, he kind of came up with various, you know, mechanic devices and used those to attack the Avengers. And after getting his ass kicked a few times, he eventually tried to switch and become a member of the Avengers. And eventually Cap hired Fabian, you know, as a staff member, you know, on the Avengers to, you know, kind of turn him around, you know, from his life of crime. And so anyway, you know, and I think he was, maybe he was ex-SHIELD at some point too. But so he has a background of, let's just say, you know, originally being a bad guy, but he's turned around and has been helping out Cap and the Avengers ever since. I think that's pertinent to this.
It is. I think story. So. Yeah.
Good grief. What a mess. Fabian's never been the most orderly lab jockey I've ever known, but this techno junkyard is beneath even his usual standard. And he comes up on Fabian, who has his back to him, and he's crouched working on something on the ground. Fabian, how's it going, guy? Cap, what are you... Fabian, you're so... Have you lost some weight? Yeah, I'm on a new diet. Well, whatever it is, it sure is working. He must have dropped at least 30 pounds since I last saw him. That was only a few weeks ago. So what is it you're working on so diligently? And he has his back to him. Just a device. Now, come on, Fabian. Our agreement when I took you on here was that you'd keep me abreast of everything you were working on, remember? Yeah, yeah. Okay, it's a debugging device. Oh, what kind? And then he gets a crazed look in his eye, Bob.
He sure does.
A brain debugging device, Cap. What else? The Masters of Evils planted a big bug in my brain, and now they can hear everything I'm thinking. They broadcast my thoughts to everyone. Now everyone knows. Can't you hear my thoughts, Cap? Can't you? We turn the page. Cap puts his hands on either of his shoulders. Baby, I think you've been working yourself too hard. I'm not denying that what you say is impossible in this crazy world we live in, but... Wait a minute. You're not Cap. Cap parts his hair on the other side. You're an imposter. A duplicate sent by the Masters of Evil to ruin my work. Let go of me. Let go. Let go. Let go. Let go. Let go. Baby, are you on something? No, I'm not. We don't test our employees for drugs here, Fabian. But if we did, tell me the truth. Do you think you'd pass the test? And he puts his head down. We don't allow drug use here, Fabian. I never did it here, Cap. I swear, I was always outside when I smoked. That's a moot point. We're going to have to get you to a treatment program. Until you're clean, I'm afraid I'm going to have to suspend you. No, please. This is my life here. I promise I'll stop. Really? Yes, you will stop with the right rehabilitation program. And he picks him up and makes him stand. Besides the harm you're doing to yourself, there's another consideration. The Avengers are role models to the nation. We simply cannot tolerate unhealthy, illegal substance abuse to go on among us. But Cap, what about the super soldier serum? Don't you owe your very powers to a drug? That's different. And he walks him out. That's a good point, Bob. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's like you could tell that kind of took Cap back a bit on his heels. You know, he hadn't quite considered that before. But I suspect he will.
A few hours later, and we're back at the crime scene where Boomslang was shot down in that alleyway in front of that door. And there are two men there wearing long trench coats. But, you know, that was the style at the time. Did you have a trench coat back in 1990?
I did, Rick, but it was issued to me by the United States Marine Corps. So, Yeah. But it was a cool one.
I bet.
It was super cool. And I actually, just a little detour, I threw it out 2 weeks ago.
What?
Yeah, you know, with it just, it got stained. Not that it got stained with anything, but just over the course of, I don't know, 30 years, something about the material started to discolor. And it's not the sort of thing that would ever come out. And so I finally said, what the hell am I keeping this for? So I got rid of it. But it was a really neat, neat coat, man.
Now I'm going to have to see a picture of that sometime.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the two guys are there stepping over the tape, invading a crime scene, Bob. Yo, lowlife, chill out, man. You got longer legs than me. Blood, Chucky. Sticky brown puddles. Guess that has something to do with why Tone Duff ain't checked in tonight, huh? Good guess. Dag. Wish I knew what went down. What, I should open the door, see if the man found the biscuit and cash? What's a biscuit and cash?
I don't know, but that sounds delicious.
I know.
Makes me want to run over to the Waffle House. Excuse me. Do you have biscuit, and cash?
It's a robbery. Look out. And you know what? If you're at the Waffle House, chances are you're going to get arrested pretty damn quick. There's probably three cops in there.
Probably so, yes.
That's a cap lock. Bet the heat hoovered it all. Oh, the heat.
The Hoover. Yeah.
Now, just what you boys think you're doing. Huh? And we see a shadow of a woman. It looks like a woman. But in the 90s, it could be a hairband like Poison.
That's true. Yeah.
A chick in spandex. We're just honest citizens, ma'am. Only we ain't never seen a crime scene before. We got curious is all. Okay, you saw it. Now beat it. No problem. Come on, Ground Chuck. My man, you heard the nice lady. And then he whispers to him as they're walking away. That chick will be able to make us. On the count of three, light her up. One, two, three. And they turn around and they have a gun and a shotgun. And they're like, where'd she go? And she is. She's gone. She disappeared.
She's quick.
Next page. This was a page that also came up for sale recently. It's an interesting page. It is a big close-up of Cap's face. It's basically five panels, one being almost like a third page splash. Cap's just sitting at the computer and it's dark and it's just the light from the monitor that is, I think, lighting up Cap's face. Fabian's comment about the super soldier serum being a drug is something I hadn't really thought about before. I suppose it is in the technical sense. It is a foreign substance administered to the body to produce a certain effect. The effect in my case was the rapid growth of muscle tissue and bone marrow, as well as the permanent enhancement of my natural reflexes. And we also left out, didactic, what do you call it?
Or didactic?
Didactic, yeah, you also got that too.
Yeah.
I wonder if the super soldier formula was a forerunner of the steroid compounds athletes illegally use to stimulate their muscles. Well, the experimental serum I took hasn't shown any harmful side effects in all the years since I took it, and that certainly distinguishes it from steroids and recreational drugs. Let me see what our computer file has on illicit drugs. Here's a sobering statistic. America has but 5% of the world's population, but consumes 50% of the world's illicit drugs. Can this be so many people's American dream? Or is it a way to escape the American reality? Let me look up the drug Fabian claimed to be taking, ice. Now, that's an interesting stat. Now, back in 1990, now, you know, Bob, 33 years or 34 years now have yeah. passed, right?
Yeah.
I went and I looked up. I was curious, you know, what is the the population of the world right now. And in 2021, it was 296 million. And then I was trying to figure out, okay, what percentage that is Americans? And it's 5.8%, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So we grew a little bit in the last 33 years. But I couldn't quite figure out the drug use. And I think it was 66 million last year considered illicit. And I went down this rabbit hole trying to do all this research just to see how much has changed. And
yeah,
I can't report anything really specifically. Sorry.
Yeah. I don't know. I think this statistic, who knows? I mean, you know, there's all kinds of statistics, right? And that strikes me as high, you know, having traveled the world quite a bit. But, you know, it's also based on, you know, how you measure, right?
It's true.
Variables here. And like, is
yeah,
it
and then so many, you know, and then you have the number one drug is marijuana, and mm-hmm. that's become legal. So
yeah,
is that considered illicit? I don't know.
Right.
Bob, do you want to read what's on CAP's computer monitor? It says about ICE.
Sure. I'll try here. It says a form of ICE is a form of methamphetamine or speed. Its name derives from the clear crystal form it takes. ICE is believed to be more addictive than crack cocaine, and like crack, is smoked in a glass pipe. ICE, it looks like it says ice cream, but ICE creates a feeling of euphoria and alertness in the user. Potential side effects include weight loss, irregular sleeping periods, paranoia, and hallucinations. Like cocaine, which comes from a plant native to the Andes Mountain, coca, ICE can be made in laboratory. Unlike cocaine, ICE can be made in laboratories using readily obtained chemicals. The manufacture and use of ICE began in Asia and has since spread to Hawaii. It is only a matter of time before it appears on the American mainland. Ha! That was prescient.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all know ICE Baby, vanilla ICE, right? And now they finally had flavored versions.
Yeah, I like Icy Pops. Yeah, and poor Joe Rosen had to type all that up, you know, or hand do that on the computer screen.
Yeah, hand do that, probably. Yeah.
I think of myself as one of America's staunchest protectors, yet I've been remiss in addressing the nation's number one problem. I've had to have the problem explode right in my own backyard before I sat up and took notice. Okay, better late than never. I've got to do something about the drug problem, starting right now. And he's got a stern look in his eye, Bob. Now, the next page, here we go. It's somewhere upstate in a prison. Inside the prison is a prisoner, one of the most dangerous men in the world. He could turn virtually any object into a lethal weapon, which he can wield with an uncanny accuracy. Because of this, his access to objects is severely curtailed. His clothing has no buttons or elastic or drawstrings. His sink has recessed knobs and faucets. His toilet has no lid. His toilet paper comes with the cardboard tube removed. His bed is a mattress cemented to the floor. He is allowed no hard food. His thrice daily mush is dispensed through a recessed spigot into a bowl that is bolted to the floor. He is permitted no utensils. He has no contact with the other prisoners. Guards stay at arm's length away from the bars of his cell. Twice a month, he is shot with a tranquilizer dart and taken unconscious for a sponge bath and medical exam. His every move is watched by an accessible video camera. The American Civil Liberties Union has been trying for months to have him removed from this cruel and unusual mode of incarceration. After today, they won't have to bother. Now, he looks like he's wearing like a medical gown, right? There's an
Johnny,
opening in.
Right?
Yeah.
They call it a Johnny.
Who calls it a Johnny?
I call it a Johnny. You don't call it a Johnny?
I don't call it a Johnny at all. I call it a medical gown.
Well, you're.
I'm not on a first name basis with
Aren't you fancy?
I guess. anyway, he's wearing one of them. And apparently nothing else, because we got a view of his bare butt.
fortunately somewhat shadowed in this instance.
It is unfortunate, yes. And he goes up and he bashes his face into the wall, and then he falls back, bleeding, yelling. And so then we have two armed guards coming into the cell. Dope refusing to eat his grub. He must have passed out on his feet and smacked his head against the wall. Careful, Willie. He may be faking it. He faked all this blood, huh? We still ought to trank him, just in case. Okay, Warren, I'll give him one. And then he turns over, and Bullseye, I don't think we've mentioned it yet, but it's Bullseye, right?
Yeah.
And he takes one of the teeth that broke in his mouth, and he spits it into one of the guards, right? Into his eye. And then he pulls out his gun, and he takes it and he puts the gun between the guard's legs, and he shoots the other guard. And then he pulls the guy who he spit into his eye up, holds him by the back of the head, and puts a gun to the back of his head. And because he has some teeth missing, he talks a little funny.
Sure.
Have no illusion. You're going to die. But first, you're going to escort me out of here. Now move. Back in Avengers headquarters, Cap's checking on Fabian. Is it time? No, not yet. The clinic has yet to return my calls. I have a question to ask you. Where did you get your drugs from? Guy goes by the street name Kid Gloves. He hangs out near the train stop on Continental Avenue in Queens. You gonna bust him? Not exactly. Next page. And there's the kid leaning up against a car and on a street parked car. And walking up to him is a guy, looks like a bum. And he's got like he probably has that trench coat you threw out, you know?
It looks like it, yeah.
Yeah, and he's got shaggy beard and shaggy hair, and which is blonde. And the kid's singing a song. What's he singing, Bob?
Oh, it is. This beat is Technotronic by Technotronic, Rick.
Oh, yeah, and you're going to sing this one, Bob?
I'm not, Rick, because you know why?
You don't do research.
Well, I do, but it's not the best one off their 1990 hit album, Pump Up the Jam. And So I think most people know Technotronic by their eponymous Pump Up the Jam hit. Would you like me to sing that
up
one?
The jam.
That's the
up
one. Jam. Yeah. Yeah, that's nice. It. Yeah.
So Continental Avenue in the borough of Queens, an hour later. Hi, Kid Gloves. I know you, Pops. Fabian sent me. He can't make it tonight. Paid no me real good to pick up a couple papers for him. Whoa, stash that cash, Pops. Come on, inside my crib, so we can get do business nice and private. And so he does, he turns, he goes into his place, and next thing you know, the kid pulls a revolver and puts it point blank in his face. Okay, Pops, you're a friend of Fabian's, like I'm Santa Claus. Now fork over your wad or you're going to be crying blood, dig? And what does this guy do, Bob?
Oh, he does a quick switcheroo with his left hand. Not even like his whole body doesn't move, right? Just his left hand snatches the gun while twisting Kid Glove's right hand in a very painful movement.
Were you taught this in the military?
I was.
Like how to disarm people like this?
I was, actually. Yeah.
Was this before or after you had something hitting down your butt crack?
This was before. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right.
Not quite. I'd recommend you withdraw your finger from the trigger. I'm told replacing kneecaps that have been shot are quite painful. Hey, ow! Who are you, man? A narc? No, worse. Wait. Oh, my God. You're the Punisher? I hadn't thought of that particular ploy. Good guess. Don't kill me, man! Wouldn't dream of it. Long as you take me to your supplier. And we're back in the van. And we got... Remember the pilot? We thought it was James.
Right.
And then he called him Michael.
Right, yeah.
Is that his middle name, maybe? Maybe Cap was being formal.
But this guy looks different.
What? Oh, does he?
Yeah, he's got a mustache.
Well, yeah, but I think that's a disguise.
Mustache is a disguise? Okay, possibly. All right, makes sense. Yeah. Yeah.
There, that's him. Name's Moose Meat. He gives me the rocks. If you're lying. I know, I'm dying. James, keep Mr. Gloves here company. We'll have a word with Mr. Meat. Affirmative. And then he, oh man, my arm, don't bend it like that. It does now. In the van. And then we got a girl on a payphone making a call. Yeah, this is jailbait. Let me talk to Lowlife. It's an emergency. She goes by jailbait.
She goes by jailbait. Okay.
You know, Bob, where I come from, there's a definition of a jailbait.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I do think that perhaps is what is being implied.
Gloves, you dirty, you fingered me. That's the Punisher up under that get up, man. He was going to hoist me if I didn't. The Punisher? Okay, Moose Meat. Now I'm going to make you the same offer I made your friend here. Tell me where you get your supply, and maybe, just maybe, you'll live to see the dawn.
Oh.
Next page. An hour later in Lower Manhattan, the van is driving down the street. You know how we can tell the van's driving down the street, Bob?
Would it be the exhaust coming out of the back?
Yes. Boy, Cap does not. He does not believe in taking care of his emissions.
I know, right? Yeah.
There, that's the warehouse there. Pull over, James. Give me some elbow room, boys. This is where I part company with the wig and overcoat. Whoa, that ain't... That's Captain America, not the Punisher. Yes, we're working together now. So James, the driver, now is pretending to be the Punisher all along. And they're like, no. Place is guarded. That's a promising sign. And then Cap goes up on top of the roof. And he sees a skylight. And he's like, lights on. Somebody's home. Let's see who. And sure enough, Bob, he's crashing through the skylight very much like the cover.
Indeed.
And he lands in the dark. If that doesn't bring whoever's here running. Yo, over here. So if it ain't the great Captain America, pleased to meet you, old man. They call me Napalm on account of this trick I know how to do. Thing is, I can only do it once. And he goes and he lets off he's got like a device in his hand and he flips the switch and Cap, you see his eyes light up. And he's alarmed. And the last panel is what, Bob?
It's a huge explosion, Rick. And it goes, ba-doom.
Continued in 2 weeks. All right, Bob. So what did you think of this opening story? Did it do its job? Did it catch your attention and make you want to read more?
Yeah, you know, it's a good hook, right? It's a good hook. We got a couple mysteries here. We don't know who the ultimate baddies are. We know there's a mysterious woman involved who's very quick on her feet. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got some drama with Fabian. We got Cap and a wig. You know, who could want anything more, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's interesting, too, for those reasons. But also, I think, because... Cap's, you know, we've in this point of Mark Gruenwald's run, we basically, this is the superhero Cap, right? He takes on bad guys. He works with the Avengers to take on larger threats. But this is a little close to home, right? In that he wants to, you know, battle drug pushers and get them off the streets. Kind of a large task for one man like this. I understand where he's coming from, and he seems very, you know, very much matter of fact. I see a problem. I'm going to research. I'm going to learn more about that problem, and now I'm going to attack that problem. Right. So he's very matter of fact about all this, but at the same time, it's not strategic. And Cap is a strategic character. So it's a little interesting that he's doing this one-man war against drugs in his neighborhood. So it tells you, you know, well, it makes you ask the question, why, right? Is it he's that close to Fabian and, you know, that kind of spurned him on? Was it the fact that somebody else in his life, maybe it's, you know, he's thinking of his father, you know, and his abuse. I don't know. I mean, it's not strategic, so it's a little out of character for Steve. So I'm curious your thoughts on, did that even come up in your mind?
You know, about his dad, no. I do think... I mean, obviously at this point, you know, for the previous decade, the whole war on drugs started by Reagan and Just Say No. And then of course with George Bush as his successor, and that war on drugs continued. It certainly wasn't a particularly successful war as use continued to grow in the United States. Right. And so I always love stories that pull from the real world and try to tackle those issues in comics. And so I think it was that juxtaposition of what was going on in the real world. And of course, I think it was in like this year or the year after that, they had that partnership with the FBI where they came out with Captain America versus like drugs or something, right? Mm-hmm.
Was that the asthma monster?
No, not the asthma one. There was one. Yeah, there was one where it was actually two issues. One came out, you know, much later, I think. But, you know, it was Captain America versus drugs, and it was like a giveaway by the FBI. Mm-hmm. It was either 90 or 91 or something like that. So, I mean, it was, you know, I mean, that was the world right outside your window. But I love the fact that this question of the super soldier serum and, you know, and of course, at this time, too, there was a lot of talk about steroid use among professional athletes. Right. And so there's this convergence in the question of the super soldier serum. But I hadn't thought about what you brought up. And that was, you know, Cap's Steve's dad and his addiction to alcohol, which is a form of drug. And I think that's an interesting question. I'll be curious to see if that comes up.
Yeah, me too. As we move into next month when we continue this, the second week of I guess at this point it will be February. So Bob, I get to go first this time. You went first last time. Favorite panel?
I wonder.
Is it a surprise here, Bob? Right?
Yeah.
Gonna go with page 3. Panel 1, this is where we have 5 caps in one panel. I get my money's worth out of this panel by claiming this. I get 5 caps for the price of 1.
Yeah, you do. Yeah,
that's my favorite panel in the book.
All right.
Very How about nice. You?
You know, I'm going to go a little bit off the beaten path on this one. I like quirky things. And so I'm going to go with the final panel, bottom right, page 11. That's the one of Cap's eyeball when he's in his, you know, he's doing his research.
Okay. Yeah.
That eyeball, there's a lot of emotion in that eyeball, right?
Indeed.
It's not just an eyeball. You can see that like he's really thinking hard about this, and he's, you can see almost the formula, like the plan being formulated in his mind through the movement of his eye that's rendered here. So I think it's a really cool, artistically well done panel that conveys a lot of information with a very small amount of data.
All right. Very nice. And what's putting on a t-shirt for you?
All right. Well, again, for me, that would be page 4. So I don't know if that works out, but it's the one where Cap is the left-hand panel. It's kind of a longer panel, but it says, and it's just Cap's face. And it's not even his entire face. It's probably, you know, 4/5 of his face. And he says, must be the entrance to another gang hangout. Boomslang surprised them as they were coming out. Got himself ventilated. Senseless violence gets me mad. I think that would be cool on a shirt.
I do too. And I would even like get rid of that first balloon. Right. Balloon, and just use the senseless violence gets me mad.
Exactly.
I like that. I'm a fan.
All right. How about yourself? What do you got for a t-shirt?
I'm going to go with the next page and go with the second panel. And that's the one where Cap is doing a right upper kick.
That's a good one.
And the guy's falling backwards.
Yeah.
And he says, the rest of you want to avoid a trip to the emergency room, drop your guns, lie face down the ground. And now I like that one.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. How about a time capsule, Rick? Anything you're going to jam into the time capsule?
I'm going to go back to the page where he's sitting in front of the computer.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to go with the second panel there where he's just on the computer and he's talking about 5% of the world's population.
Yeah.
You know, consume 50% of the world's illicit drugs. I don't know. That's very timely. As far as like that points to that period of time in our country in 1990.
Yeah.
So I think that one fits perfectly in a time capsule.
All right. Well, it's funny. I'm going to the same page, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to use that LCD screen.
Okay.
Did you have a computer back in like the late 80s or, early 90s?
No.
Yeah.
Early mid 90s. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like 92, 93, I think I finally got one.
Okay. That's when they really started coming out with like PCs, right? Like Microsoft, Windows PCs.
Yeah. I had a little Mac.
Okay. Yeah. I had a Mac back in the 80s. I had a Mac 2E and then I had a Commodore 64 but they always had the black screen with the yellow, print on it. Right. The real hardcore LCD type, it wasn't even LCD. Cathode ray tube. I don't know what it was, but it reminds me of this. Within a few years, like early 90s, I remember I was in Yuma, Arizona. It was probably, 92 or something. And one of the wives of one of the other Marines I worked with started working at a PC store, and she was trying to get like people to buy PCs. And I was like, all right, I'll buy one. And so I went and, I talked to her at the store and I got a PC and I brought it home and I plugged it in, and I'm like, the hell am I going to do with this? It was like $2,000. I had to get it on a payment plan, And I'm like,
yeah,
what the hell am I going to do with this? I don't know what I don't have any plans for this. I don't have like VisiCalc. Remember VisiCalc or like
I really Peach
don't. Tree or any of these programs. And I'm like,
no,
yeah, completely useless for me.
Okay.
But that was, that leap change from these sorts of screens to like, so almost like what we see now. In a span of like a year, So this takes me back to those days.
Well, there you go. We'll put that in the Bob Lucius time capsule for Captain America. All right, Bob. Next episode, we're coming back and we are going to be covering, we're going in, a little trip back to the 70s, Bob. We're going to go from 1977 and we're going to do Captain America annual. Number 4.
That sounds fun. I love annuals. Not all.
I know.
Annuals.
Well,
some
Bob,
annuals aren't so good, but some are great.
This was, we're just knocking some things out from the 2024 bucket list, right?
Yeah. Jump on.
Right. We're doing this and we got a few other things lined up soon. So, we're going to do it's a Jack Kirby annual that has Magneto and the new Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. Let's dive into that one. So we'll come back in next episode 171 and we're going to do Captain America Annual 4 from 1977.
Awesome. Can't wait to do that one.
Me too. All right, Bob. Well, as always, it has been so much fun wrapping Cap with you.
And it has been for me as well. I look forward to our next encounter.
Okay, he's Bob Lucius, I'm Rick Verbanis, and you have been listening to another episode of the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast.